in our readings today, we see people at the very end of what they have. Those without resources and those who are overlooked, so they don't have the support that they need to continue to live. Both of our widows in our stories, both the one with Elijah and in our gospel reading, are at this point. The one with Elijah definitely knows it. She is keenly aware of the little that she has. Indeed, death is in her plan for the day. I'm going to go back. I'm going to make this little food that I have. My son and I will eat it, and we will die. We know our widow in the gospel reading, too, has very little. Just two small copper coins worth a penny, and it's all she has to live on. But of course, it is not enough to live. And we see that there are those who are willing to take this little that the others have, that these widows have. The treasury stands open, and no one is going to tell her, don't put that in here, you have to save it for yourself. We're happy to allow you to add in alongside all these other forms of wealth being deposited your own two small copper coins. Elijah outright asks this widow, after he knows that all she has is this little bit of bread, to first give him a piece of it. And then she can feed herself. And of course, the problem is that one of these asks, one of these invitations to give, does not bear fruit, does not give what is needed in return. Well, Elijah's request does. Elijah is a true prophet of the Lord. In giving, she receives. Elijah and she are nourished during this drought, along with her son, because of God's provision, because God has not ignored any of them. But Jesus highlights there's a problem with our widow in the gospel story. This treasury, this place that is the centralized power of the religious leaders, is not being managed as it should. The people in charge of it are more concerned with their own status, with how they are viewed in the community. And in so doing, their attention is not upon this widow who doesn't have enough to live. This is what the treasury was for, to provide for the needs of others. But when the focus is on our places of honor, on our long robes, then we're in trouble. We can no longer focus on what God asks us to focus on. We cannot take care of the people around us. And we see a concrete example of what Jesus is saying. When those who behave in this way devour widows' houses, it is happening. Her house is devoured. And though we don't get to hear more of her story, Jesus' words indicate that there will be no support to come for her from this treasury. We know today we still struggle with similar issues of giving, of generosity. We struggle with living in ways that would seek to promote our own honor and status, where we want to give out of our abundance. Nobody wants to give out of nothing. We don't want to be at a point where we have nothing. And I wonder if our lectionary choosers put this passage here near the end of the year because we know such solicitations are quickly going to come our way. Giving Tuesday is going to come up. Other opportunities to support nonprofits and charities will arise, and people will ask us to give of our abundance, and they'll try to stoke our ego in the midst of it. There'll be membership benefits and packages that can come your way if you give a certain amount, and we can go into other places and organizations where donors are prominently displayed and they have tiered rankings, and we can see the ways in which our giving might even become a way to vie for our own honor and status and respect in the community. We want giving that comes with perks. Give, and you can have tax relief. You can write it off. And we know, of course, that these actions, these desires of organizations to solicit such funding is necessary for the organizations to live. Nobody can live. No organization can continue on the widow's mite. If everybody is giving all that they have and all they have is a penny, that group and the people supporting it are not going to last for very long. And yet, we see Jesus critiquing this. We see Jesus saying, this is not where our focus should be, though. It's not on our own status, our own positions. It's not about garnering respect for ourselves. It's not about having an abundance to give from. What Jesus looks at is not even the health of the organization. It's not even to say, well, make sure the treasury is enough funds so that these widows could be cared for. No, what he calls attention to instead is the level of sacrifice she offers. She gave all that she had to live on. And that is noteworthy. That is important. That is something we should pay attention to. Because it's not about the amount. It's about what we are willing to give of ourselves for others. We should pay attention to Jesus because he knows a lot about this topic. Jesus understands self-sacrifice well. Indeed, Jesus understands generosity far better than we could. Jesus gives out of an abundance that we could not even dream of or imagine. There is already such giving up in the very fact that Jesus is standing here talking to these people. For Jesus, as we know, is the Word of God, the one who's co-eternal with God, existed with God from the very beginning, has spoken the world into existence, and gives up immortality, gives up divine honor and power and glory to take on human flesh, to become mortal. Jesus has already given up more power and status than anyone could ever hope to achieve just by entering into this world. But Jesus' generosity doesn't stop there. Jesus' sacrifice doesn't stop there. Once he has a mortal life, he doesn't try to hold on to it. He doesn't try to figure out how to ensure his own survival, but instead is willing not to give all that he has to live on, but his very life, that others may know life. And Jesus is going to lay himself down in order for us to encounter the life that truly is life. This is what our author of Hebrews is telling us. Jesus enters into this sanctuary that is true with his own blood, not somebody else's. And he enters the sanctuary, stands in the very presence of God on our behalf to give still of his time, his attention, his love to us. This is the generosity of God that knows no bounds. And it is an abundance of self-sacrifice. It is an abundance that continues to nourish us as we encounter the life God would long for us to have. This is what a widow in our first story encounters. She knows that God has not forgotten her, even though she is a foreigner, a stranger to God's people, though there is no one else in her community who will provide for her. God steps in and sends Elijah. God could have fed Elijah in any other way, but chooses to use this widow that she and her son also may be fed during this drought, during this time of famine. Because this is who God is. God pays attention to those who are overlooked, and God cares for them and provides for them, which is what gives us hope for the widow in our gospel story too. Yes, the systems in place, as Jesus is pointing out, may not be able to address her needs, but Jesus has noticed her. The Word of God made flesh has singled her out, and we know then that God is one of provision, one of sustenance, one of grace and life. And I have to imagine that this is what is offered to that widow as well. Jesus sees in her a sacrifice similar to his own and says, I will take care of you. Though the whole world may fail, I have given up my power, my status, my authority. I have taken on flesh. I am going to suffer and die that you may know life and you will be provided for. This is the message we are to hear as well. This is the message that changes and shapes us to live and process things differently, to be more attentive to the needs of those around us, to be willing ourselves to give up the power, the status, the glory, our pursuit for respect, and instead find ways to give of ourselves truly for the sake of those around us, to sacrifice in meaningful ways. That people may know the provision of God, that people may encounter a grace and a love of such abundance that meets our every need. Of course, such a perspective is difficult for us to maintain. It's difficult for us to live in this way, which is why we need this meal that we share today here. We encounter this bread and wine. We encounter God's own presence in Christ's body and blood. And here we are drawn together across time and space, continuing to encounter the generosity of God, who is still giving of God's own self that we may be fed and nourished, that we may be sustained. And as we still encounter this generous God, this gracious love, we are transformed to be different in this world, to celebrate and share this love of Christ, this love that has been shared with us. And we are sent forth this day to continue that process, to continue to make the generosity of God known. We do this because it's what we have encountered. Do this because we know it is the only way we could have what we need to live. And we want all to know this truth as well. And for this gift of how God works in our midst, for this generosity God displays in caring for our every need, in sending Christ and taking on flesh, and suffering and dying that we may know life, for all of these things that are overwhelming in their generosity towards us, we can only receive them with words of gratitude and praise, saying, thanks be to God. Amen.